to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson read just moments ago. Have you ever heard someone say that there is power in prayer? If you're like me, you've probably heard that said numerous times. And like well-meaning statements, this one sounds very good. But it's not quite correct. And if you really think about it, it doesn't really bring any comfort either. Because prayer then just becomes a work that we must do in order to gain some favor from God. Just as faith has no value unless it is faith in Christ, the same with prayer. Prayer itself has no value unless it is prayer made in Christ's name by faith to the only God who hears and answers prayer. So it's not that there's power in prayer. It's actually that there's power in the one who answers prayer. In today's gospel lesson, you heard Jesus' prayer to his Father, to the very God who answers prayers. He prayed on behalf of his disciples. He prayed for his disciples and for those who would believe in him because of the message that the disciples bring. He prayed that they may be one, just as the Father and the Son are one. He prays that they may be brought to complete unity. Of course, this unity is not for them as much as it is for the sake of the world. Because when the unbelieving world sees the unity that the disciples have in Christ, they will also see the love of the Father, the love that the Father has even for them. Unfortunately, you know that it's quite rare to find any gathering of people that agree on everything. A perfect case in point. The pastors of this circuit are very close theologically. And yet, if you want to hear a very good discussion with a number of disagreements, all you have to do is come to our Thursday morning study and watch what takes place there. If this type of disagreement can happen among those who are so close theologically, then they are bound to happen to those who cannot agree that God's Word is the only infallible truth. The unity that Jesus speaks about here is not a unity that is based upon complete agreement in all things. The unity of which Jesus is talking is really an article of faith that is believed, even though it is not always seen. For true unity is only found in Jesus Christ. And it was only given by His Holy Spirit. And therefore, we shouldn't expect to find this type of unity just anywhere in the world. As Christians, we strive to unite with other Christians where there is agreement on God's Word. But where there is no agreement on God's Word, neither can there be any unity. Concord for the sake of appearances is not unity. And it doesn't please God, nor does it fool Him. Last week in the text, you heard that this world can't and doesn't know God or His peace. Today, Jesus tells us that this world also doesn't know the Father. But they do know that Jesus has been sent by someone. And in that, they can begin to see who God is. When Jesus then prays for His disciples, He prays for their unity in order that the world may see the Father's love. He doesn't want them just to be united for the sake of being united. He wants them to be united so that the world can see and hear and believe the testimony that God has given. Unfortunately, we are sinners to the core. And what the world often sees when it looks at the church is not described as unity, but rather as bickering and fighting and hypocrisy. And when the world sees these things in the church, they want nothing to do with it. They want nothing to do with the church. They want nothing to do with Christ. So if the world is supposed to come to know the love of the Father because of the unity that they see in the church, then we are failing miserably at God's command. But thanks be to God, therefore, that convicting the world of sin and bringing people to faith, converting them to Jesus Christ, is the work of the Holy Spirit that takes place through the preaching of the Word in spite of our bickering and fighting, in spite of our selfishness and sin. Jesus is the one who perfectly reveals the Father's love. Jesus is the one who unites us and forgives us and makes us brothers and sisters in Him. This past Thursday evening, I witnessed something that I have never witnessed before. It was a rare opportunity to see true Christian unity in the midst of a badly divided and hateful world. Even though we weren't very strong in number at that Ascension service this past Thursday evening, everyone in the pews, everyone in the congregation that evening came to the altar for Holy Communion together. It's at this altar where we get a glimpse and a picture and a foretaste of the unity that Christ has prepared for us in Himself. It's at this altar where our faith is strengthened and where we are caused to believe that Jesus is the Christ who has come from a loving Father. If the world could have witnessed that unity that I saw on that evening, they would have knelt down and prayed to God that they could be part of such a thing. Today, as you listen to Jesus' prayer for unity, did you realize that He wasn't praying for Himself or for His own needs? His prayer was a thanksgiving to God for all the blessings that He has given. And then He prayed for His disciples, for those who would hear the message that His disciples were to speak, and even for the unbelieving world who would see the church and maybe come to faith by hearing that word. In fact, in His prayer, the only one He didn't pray for was Himself. So if you're like me, you've already noticed that your prayers are seldom like Jesus' prayer. We pray for those things that are most important to us, just like Christ did. But in our weakness, seldom are those things for which we pray the struggles and the needs of others. It's not wrong to pray for ourselves, to pray for our own health and security, for wisdom and strength. But if we continue to pray earnestly for those things day after day, are we really trusting that our Lord, who has always provided for us, is going to continue to provide those things? Or are we questioning whether He will be faithful today as He was faithful yesterday? On the other hand, when we begin to see and to trust that God will provide us with clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, then the focus of our prayers begin to shift. No longer are they about our needs or our wants or our desires, but we begin to think about other people's needs. We begin to think about our families, our neighbors, our church, and even the unbelievers who are walking around in this world. If our prayers and our daily living were to place the needs and struggles of others before ourselves, then the world really would see the Father's love from this congregation and from all Christian people by how much we love and care for one another. But much like Christian unity that we talked about before, a sincere prayer for others cannot be something that is forced or coerced out of us or offered up only for appearance sake. A prayer like Jesus offers is only offered in true faith. Certainly, the disciples realized this. They saw their own struggle and they saw their sin and weakness, and therefore they asked Jesus to teach them to pray. They also asked Him to strengthen their faith in order that they could believe. Of course, as you would expect, Jesus answered their prayers. He taught them how to pray and what to pray for when He gave them the Lord's Prayer. And He did strengthen their faith by uniting them to Himself with His own body and blood, and by continuing to pray for them in their time of need. The prayer that Jesus offered on that day many years ago was not only offered for them, but also for you. He prayed for all those who would hear the word and who would come to faith in him. You have heard the word of God, and by the power of the Holy Spirit you have come to faith. And this prayer was for you. He knew that in this world you would have troubles. But he tells us he has overcome the world. He has not left us or forsaken us. And he will never depart from us. He continues to pray for you in order that your faith may be strengthened to believe that he has forgiven your sins and made his Father known to you. Earlier I said to you that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. You know that brothers and sisters often argue and fight. But the saying is most certainly true, blood is thicker than water. By the blood of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven, and we can live and work with one another in true unity, joy, and love. And one day we will stand before our gracious Heavenly Father's throne of grace, singing his praises with one voice. Doesn't today seem like a good day to start practicing for that day? Let us pray. Love is patient and forbearing, clothed in Christ's humility, gentle, selfless, kind, and caring, reaching out in charity. Love in Christ abides forever, fainting not when ills attend. Love forgiving and forgiven shall endure until life's end. Amen.